We are now pleased to be joined on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline by the VFL, former Cy Young Award winner, former Gold Glove winner, R.A. Dickey. R.A., how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, John. How are you, man?
Oh, doing quite well. Sure hope that everybody in your household and beyond are safe and sound with all that's going on.
Yeah, you know, we're up here on a hill, and we've got, like, some acreage, so we've been able to spread out the last 2 or 3 months, and it's been okay, but it sure has been hard, you know, not going to school. I got a senior girl that's lost her senior year, so there's a lot of sadness for that, and, of course, a lot of people are sick, too, so it's been weird times, John, that's for sure.
That is for sure. And one of the things that I've very much appreciated is, as you have broadened your outreach throughout your time at the tail end of your career with Toronto and with the Mets, was your reach with the Bombay India Challenge. And I know that you wanted to open the world to your kids, to allow them to experience, see different situations, different cultures, and goodness gracious, I just hate to hear and feel bad for all of the seniors that have lost what is such a special year of their life when it comes to their final go-round in high school.
Yeah, you know, it's been a challenge. I'm sure it's a challenge for everybody there in Knoxville, too. It's you know, this doesn't play favorites, right? I mean, everybody in some way has been impacted by what's been going on, and some, you know, might not ever remember it. Let's hope that they don't if they're little kids. But, you know, I got a junior and a senior, a seventh grader and a fifth grader, and we've had a lot of great talks around the dinner table at night about, you know, the challenges of what this world can present and how to try to figure out to maintain positivity and how do we use our God-given gifts to impact other people and the greater story that's going on around us. So it's, you know, it's not without its bonuses too. We've been able to spend the most time together as a family that we ever have in the history of, you know, our time together. So that's been a bonus.
It is hard to believe, but we had the 25th anniversary of Tennessee clearing the last hurdle, getting back to the College World Series with that 95 team that you were such a big part of. It was back-to-back SEC championships for Tennessee your first 2 years with the Volunteers, and you had just an unbelievable effort to get the Volunteers, help the Vols across the finish line to get that regional championship game against Oklahoma State. R.A., what do you remember most about being able to finally knock down that last door and help Tennessee get to Omaha with that big win over the Cowboys?
You know, that's one of my – you know, I've been really blessed, John, you know, to be able to play in the Olympic Games. And, you know, I've been to 2 playoffs in Major League Baseball and all that. Won a Cy Young. But I've got to say, that night, that day, that afternoon, that ranks as one of the top 3 memories that I'll ever have in baseball. And a lot of it was just because we got to share it with a community of fans and in a university that had just suffered through so much. We you know, the year before, we lost to Arizona State 3-1 in the, I think it was the 10th inning, mm-hmm. or something like that, 2-1 or 3-2, some 4-3, I can't remember. So we had been waiting for a long time, and just the satisfaction that came with knowing that we had, you know, finally done it after committing so much time and effort into it and getting to share it with so many people. That was one of the best memories I'll ever have, going to my grave, man. That was really fantastic.
R.A., it was the first time Tennessee had been to the World Series in 44 years. Did that resonate with you?
You know, I don't know if I really thought of it in terms of how long, like the dry spell, because, mm-hmm. You know, when you're in the moment, you just don't. And, of course, you hear, hey, you know, that was when the last time we went and this and that. And there's so many schools that have never been that are great schools. So you don't really think about that in the moment. All I thought about was, this has got to be our year. I mean, we had Todd as a junior that year, and it was just such a good team. And we felt like we had the best pitching staff in the country the year before that, my freshman year. But when we were my sophomore year, we knew that it probably that was our window. And so that was it was special to do it because Todd was there, and just it was a really sweet time to be involved, that's for sure.
Would you say that that was a team that was absolutely brimming with confidence because you had success, but you also had a lot of great players on that team?
I think so. Yeah, I think you got to be, you know, you got to know your identity. And I think every one of us knew coming off the year before and even what was built before I ever got there. You know, they went to a regional the year before I got there when I was a senior in high school. So you could start to see the momentum was building. It's just, what did we need to put us over that hump? And I really think that what it took was just a Herculean effort by a number of different guys. You know, a lot of guys in that tournament were asked, and that year for that matter, were asked to do more than they had ever done. And every one of them stepped up to the plate. Forgive the metaphor there, but I mean, every one of them came through.
It was really something to watch the season unfold the way it did. You start out with a regular roster that's filled with guys, but slowly but surely, there were guys that fell to the wayside for one reason or another. If I remember correctly, it was about 19 guys total that were on that trip to the College World Series. What was it like to see the numbers dwindle and realize, as you were just talking about, how at some point in time you needed everyone available to step up because there just weren't that many guys available at the end?
Oh, my gosh, there wasn't. And not only that, you know, I think any great championship team, John, even at the major league level, you get contributions in big ways from guys that you're not necessarily depending upon. Like, everybody knew Todd was going to be Todd, and hopefully I was going to be me. And, you know, but Ryan Myers and John Alkire and Bryce Christensen, and I mean, all these guys that stepped up and in a way that, not that they hadn't done before, but certainly not on the stage that they had done before. And that was what was so incredible about our team, was that you had all these guys who just played huge roles. And you didn't really necessarily at the beginning of the season say, okay, that guy's going to be able to do what he did at the end of the year when you look back on it in reflection.
What was it like to see the first matchup between Tennessee and Oklahoma State in that Knoxville regional take place? It was a wild affair. Scott Schreffel starts on the mound, and Tennessee gets off to a great start, but then Oklahoma State rallies. Schreffel goes to center field, and lo and behold, it turns into a slugfest. Schreffel comes back to the mound, punches out their big bat, and Tal Light, I believe, is who it was. And obviously, Coach Ward not very happy at all about what he said was kind of a sandlot move.
Oh man, well, at that point I don't care if it's Little League, sandlot, whatever it takes at that point, man. There was no, it was all hands on deck. I thought it was a great move. It certainly proved to be a good move.
So true.
Schreffel really came up big during that tournament, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, man. You know, nobody really realized what kind of pitcher he was going to become, right? Like, nobody really counted on him to be a guy, and he ended up being a guy. Him and Ryan both. You know, you knew Todd was going to be Todd, and we were able to use Todd because of those other two guys outside of a couple of games in the role that he enjoyed the most and that we needed him in the most, and that was to close games. And it was because of the efforts and contributions of those other two guys and other guys. Man, there was other guys in the middle of the week, and we had John, do you remember our record that year? I mean, it had to be almost over 50 wins, maybe.
Yeah, 54 and 16, but I've got the numbers right in front of me, so it's not my great memory.
Well, so 54 and 16, it takes a village, man, when you're winning that many games. So we had, like, I remember Travis Exum and John Darlington and just so many others that contributed that you didn't know what you were going to get at the beginning of the year, but we grew. I think what was cool about that team and that experience, and something I think I'll always remember about it, was that we grew into what we became. You know, it wasn't like we were there from start to finish. I think we really, in fact, I think we got swept maybe early on in the season by Clemson, maybe. I can't remember, but it didn't start off great, and we really grew into a good team.
All right, John and I have had this discussion before, but do you think if Todd Helton had tried to get major league batters out coming, well, not out of the bullpen, but off of first base, do you think he could have gotten major league batters out as a pitcher?
There's not a question in my mind he could have gotten big league hitters out. I just don't think his arm would have held up over time, you know? Yeah. Like he was always, he was tougher nails, of course, but, you know, there would be moments when he would need a blow, you know, like, because his arm was bothering him or whatnot. And the demands of a major league pitcher, you know, are really, really high. And coming off first base in the middle of a game, I don't know if that would be too wise for a guy that can hit like that in the major league. But I tell you what, if you wanted to bring him in out of the bullpen, that guy could get anybody in the major leagues out with what he has.
Yeah. Talk a little bit also about as the team, the program was building success, did you see it become easier for Tennessee to recruit elite baseball players?
Well, yes, I did. I saw so many good players roll through that cafeteria in Gibbs Hall when they were coming on their official visits. Now, they may not have ended up with us because they were the guys that ended up going the top five rounds of the MLB draft. I mean, we were attracting players that we had never been able to attract before. I remember sitting at the dinner table with somebody, and a little senior comes sitting beside me, AJ Pierzynski, right? Like, yeah, and those types of players that were coming. He was going to come to UT, but he ended up going to play MLB instead. So those are the types of players that we were starting to get. And that was just a testament to that era of baseball that the fans were able to enjoy, that kind of, you know, that 91 to 96 kind of run that we had. And then beyond that, I mean, they won another world. I mean, they went to the World Series again, John, in what year? 01?
Yes.
Was that 01? Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I mean,
in
that
05.
That was a good stretch for UT baseball, man. That was a great decade.
And speaking of arms holding up, you opened the regional with 8 innings in a victory for Tennessee against the Citadel, and then you came back and you worked all 11 in the championship game against Oklahoma State. What was it like to get the ball to start the regional for Tennessee and then get that opportunity to kind of have it in your control when you got the ball against the Cowboys in that second matchup?
Well, I went into the Citadel game and I knew that, you know, the ask, because I remember the year before, the ask is going to be, hey, we need you to start on Friday, and then we need you to start on Monday. I mean, that's a 2 days rest, right? So if you could keep your pitch count down to a minimum, then you'd feel good about it. But unfortunately, I think I struggled in the middle innings and ended up needing to pitch that eighth inning when ordinarily I'd have been out of there after 100 pitches or so. But I bet I went probably 120 in that first game. And then on 2 days rest, I could turn around and have to go that many was difficult, man. But you're in such a zone because you know that this is it. You win here, you're going. And so, you know, you sacrifice a lot for moments like that. And you just hope they don't come back and bite you.
And as you talked about Todd Helton and his ability, I think that was one of the more amazing storylines for me that season is when Rod – asked him to start a game as opposed to coming out of the bullpen. He made 4 starts, had 4 complete games, and won all 4, including what was his last outing as a starter to start the College World Series against Clemson in Omaha. What was it like to see Todd go from the bullpen to joining that weekend rotation with you?
Well, you know, we knew that we were probably going to have to do that if we got beyond the College World Series. That was going to be something that had to happen, and everybody knew he was going to be able to do it. You just never dreamed that it would be with such crispness. I mean, he was dynamite that night. I'll never forget it, and it's the stuff of legend, really. I mean, I tell a lot of my little league players about, you know, playing with Ty Helton and how he pitched a complete game in the College World Series after he hadn't started a game in weeks. So it was, you know, he's just one of those legendary characters that comes out of the Big Orange, you know, farm system there. I mean, it's fun to tell stories about that guy.
All right, what was it like when you were asked to come out of the bullpen?
Well, that was I think that was an experiment that was, you know, in retrospect, I wish that we would have not done that. I understood why we did it now, you know, and then I understood. I mean, we needed somebody that could close out games because we just didn't have anybody. And so the thought was that I'd be able to come in, you know, two innings for 3 straight nights instead of just being able to pitch one you know, one game and impact that many more games. But the problem is we ran into a string of weeks there. We weren't really getting to the seventh inning with a lead. And so I was sitting over there and not pitching for a long time. What seemingly was a long time for me because I was used to pitching every other day. But, you know, I got it. You know, I ended up going back into the rotation in the middle of the season and it was fine. But, you know, we didn't have enough arms, starting arms, to be able to do what we wanted to do and keep me in the pen, I think. I think that was the struggle.
Was there much of a difference in your mindset being a starter versus a reliever?
Yeah, there was. I mean, you didn't have to save anything, really. You know, the first few innings of a baseball game as a starter, you're really just trying to see what your body's going to give you that day. And you kind of grow into the outing. You know, how does your breaking ball feel? How does your sinker feel? You know, but as a guy in the pen, you come out with your hair on fire and you know that you're going to be a fastball and one other pitch kind of guy. You need a fastball and a put-away pitch, and that's really all you have to get ready for that inning or those two innings. There was a point there, though, that I was a closer and I was being brought in the sixth inning of games, which is a tough close, you know, from the sixth to the ninth. But it was, I just loved the pitch, and they knew that, and they were looking for ways for me to get in the game any way I could.
Do you, who are some of your teammates? You can go Tennessee or in the pros that you are still connected with. Who do you still catch up with?
Oh, man. You know, when I think it was just last year that my son played Scott Schreffel's son and Scott Vieira's son in some kind of tournament. You know, it's just incredible. Randy Burdett, who was a longtime ball coach there, is a really, really dear friend of mine still. We still talk quite often. Mike Anderson came through after I left. He was a high school teammate of mine. I mean, there's just been so many opportunities for us to see each other over the years. I mean, you may not call him every week, but there's a bond there that exists between members of that team that will never go away just because of what we shared.
What is it like to be doing some coaching, as you mentioned?
Well, you know, it's different, man. Like the sports world, the youth sports world, you know, can be somewhat toxic and from time to time if you don't watch out. You know, there's a lot of adults that are trying to live vicariously through their children, and you see that from the other side of the field, and you want to go over there and say, hey, it's a game, and games are meant to be fun, and baseball is meant to be fun, and there's a lot of pressure put on 9 and 10 year olds these days, you know. But at the same time, I feel like God has really given me the gift of a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom from other people, and I love giving what I have. I love giving what I've got, what God has given me to give away, and that's fun for me. And I knew as soon as I retired, John, that I wanted to be with my family and my son. And this is just another opportunity for me to get to spend time with him. And that's why I'm in youth sports in general. You know, if Eli becomes a Major League Baseball player, great. But I just want to practice loving on him well and teaching him what I've known. And that's all I'm in it for, really.
That is awesome. And I know you've had the opportunity, you do such a good job of connecting with people, but to be able to be a part of some shows and to do some appearances, what does it mean to you when you hear from somebody? I showed you what it meant to Tyler Ivins on our own staff, to have him get his jersey, his R.A. Dickey jersey signed by you. But what is it like to be able to see what perhaps following you, being a fan of yours, has meant to them, and whether it be watching you compete or just enjoying you and your characteristics?
Well, I appreciate that, John. That's a real encouragement. I think that there's a real responsibility. You know, I take it very seriously, simply because I was a fan too. You know, and I looked up to guys too. And you know, I tell everybody I come in contact with or that I speak to a team or a organization that, you know, nobody in this world is perfect, but we certainly all have gifts that we're meant to give away. And, you know, my hope in all that is just that, you know, I continue to get opportunities to brighten somebody's day or to give away a jersey or a signed ball or whatever. I mean, that's nothing you know. And so it's been fun to be able to do that and to have a platform to kind of bounce off of, to be able to contribute in that way. That's always, those are always the experiences in my past that have meant the most to me, is when somebody that I looked up to identified with me in a way that was transforming. And it might have been a few words, or it might have been a speech at a basketball camp, or it might have been a, you know, a big leaguer stopping, or a Nashville Sound who was in the bullpen, toss me a ball and say, hey, keep your front side closed when you pitch. Or, you know, you never know who you're going to impact. And so that's kind of fun, you know, to think of it in those terms.
That is awesome. And last one, short and sweet. Did they get it right with the final installment of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna make a lot of people mad if I start talking about Star Wars. But I tell you what. You can't make a bad. It's hard to make a bad Star Wars. That's how far gone I am. You know, like even Episode One with Jar Jar Binks, and people think that was the worst one ever. I could probably watch it five times in a row and be happy. You know, that's kind of. I'm just that deep gone. So you shouldn't ask me. They're all great to me. You know.
Well, that's the single greatest bobblehead I've seen. You and the Stormtrooper look with the Atlanta Braves. But R.A., always great to catch up. Thank you so much for sharing your memories on what it was to be a part of Tennessee clearing that last hurdle, getting to the College World Series in 95. Hope we can do so much sooner rather than later. But take care, stay well, and be safe.
Anytime, John. Appreciate the time. Talk to
you
later.
All right. Thank you so much. Vol for Life, R.A. Dickey, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.